This Sunday Show with EPIC, the Irish Emigration Museum, an interactive journey that shows how a small island made a big impact on the world. EPICCHQ.com. Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine
106.8. And you're very welcome to The Sunday Show, coming to you this evening from Kenmare House at the Castle Ross Park Resort here in Killarney. And I'm looking out at Carron Tool, the highest mountain in Ireland, and the most magnificent view of the lake. And I'm delighted to be joined by travel and hospitality legend, Con Horgan. Con, how are you doing?
I'm very well, Ed. Thank you very much indeed.
Now, I have to say, you're looking great.
Well, Ed, I would take that as a compliment and thank you very much. But since I heard of the three ages of man, I'm not so sure. You know what they are? Youth, middle age, and you're looking well. So I'm at the looking well stage, but thank you anyway.
Brilliant. Now, I mean, Con, you have an illustrious career in travel. I mean, you've probably sent more people in Ireland on holidays over the years than anybody else that I know, and which is a great, of course, thing to have done. But can we just bring you back a little bit before we talk about the wonderful property here where we are, which is this amazing Kenmare House? You started off in travel at a very young age.
Yes, indeed. Whether it's an illustrious career or not, it's certainly a long one, Ed. Yes, I started off, as a matter of fact, I started 2 days before my 18th birthday, and I started as a check-in clerk in Aer Lingus, in the old City Air Terminal in Carl Brewer Street. And that's gone back a long time. In fact, it was the year that Aer Lingus launched their transatlantic service with super constellations. It was pre-jet age. It was also the year, which was the 100th anniversary of Lourdes, of the apparition in Lourdes. And it was the year that the Irish people travelled, in many cases for the very first time in an aeroplane, going on pilgrimages to Lourdes in 1958. So I was there, you could say, from the beginning.
Amazing. I mean, when I went to Prez in Cork, we were brought on a pilgrimage to Lourdes as helpers and at a very young age. And I must say, it was huge then, Lourdes. And I mean, what was it like? I mean, travel then, I suppose, I mean, compared to now, it was a stylish, it was quite an exciting business to be in, wasn't it?
Well, it was, and I suppose it still is. But I went through a career in travel from Aer Lingus. I worked in the travel agency business. I worked with Iberia. I was Iberia country manager in Ireland at the tender age of 24. And that was a great experience because, first of all, I had to learn a bit of Spanish. I got to love Spain and got to know Spain very well, which helped me in my later career. And the job that taught me most, if you like, was with the Ryan Tourist Group, Ryan's Hotels, Ryan's Travel Agency. And I joined them back in the day and worked my way up to chief executive. And at that stage, I left to set up my own business. And my first venture was Abbey Travel.
Now, I mean, of course, Abbey Travel, which was, you know, iconic for a lot of people in Ireland, would be known all over the country, really. You had offices everywhere.
Well, we had a good few offices, but apart from that, we diversified into the tour operating business. We had our own holiday programs, our own charter flights. This, of course, again, was the pre-Ryanair days, when to get to a destination, you tended to have to buy a package holiday or buy a seat only. That's all changed nowadays. But that was, if you like, that was the way that people went on holidays. And we opened up destinations in Spain, in Portugal and Greece and further afield.
I mean, you had amazing, I mean, you had great sports. You did huge amount of sports travel as well. You used to represent these great companies that did amazing, like Exodus, I think, and other places. You know, you did from Latin America to, I mean, you were quite pioneering in that you were bringing people to destinations at a stage when they weren't even really popular.
Well, can I mention that you spent a little while in the organization running our very successful schools and groups?
Yes, indeed.
Department, which I later actually I think you took it over yourself and went from success to success afterwards.
Yeah, people should know that you were an incredible mentor to me. Yeah, and I must say, yeah, taught me a lot of good things about travel. Yes, indeed.
After that, because I had come from the Ryan's background, which was a mix of various tourist enterprises, travel, car rental and hotels, it was obvious that I would sort of try and develop into the hotel business as well. And I founded the Tower Hotel Group back in the early 80s. Our first venture was the Tower Hotel in Waterford. And from there, we developed seven hotels throughout the country, two in Dublin, two in Waterford and three elsewhere. And the second acquisition was the Castle Ross in Killarney.
Yeah, amazing. And I mean, in those days, it wasn't necessarily a progression, I suppose, for people in travel to go into hotels, but you had a bit of a vision about that, didn't you? About hospitality, really.
Well, I did. And also my background in Ryan's, you know, I saw, if you like, the bigger picture. And not alone were we in travel outbound, we were also in travel inbound. The inbound company was Abbey Tours, which went on from success to success. And they became, if you like, the number one inbound tour operator in the country and are now my biggest customer in the Castle Ross.
Amazing. I remember when I met you first, I suppose a good few years ago, you told me that, I remember clearly, one of the secrets of success in travel was kind of creating temporary monopolies, you said to me, are more or less doing things sort of first and then doing them better. And it was amazing advice, actually, because when you chatted about schools and groups there, and when Ryanair came on first, they had a few planes to, you know, to Luton and Stansted. And I mean, some of them were those Russian planes that you'd face each other sitting on and stuff. But I remember that time the school tours were all a lot of ferries, you know, you went on ferries and stuff. And we started flying school groups to Stansted and to London and boat and coaching them down to Paris. And this was revolutionary stuff in the school tour business. But that advice worked well. I mean, they were sold out in days, you know, but it was always a question. And you were always great at, you know, kind of seeing things coming, I suppose, and that idea of how to get people from A to B in a more sort of easier way, I suppose.
Well, Ed, you're probably giving me far too much credit because what I attribute my success, such as it is the people that worked with me, the Ed Finns, the Brian McCallaghans, and all of those people who, if you like, if you motivate people properly, you rely on their creativity and their skills. And it was the skill of the team rather than the skill of the leader that made whatever success I had.
Yes, well, you were great at bringing together good teams, that's for sure. Now, you've travelled all over the world. I mean, you have been from South Africa to South America to Cuba, all over. Have you, I mean, in terms of places that you've been, I mean, have you any places that are like your favourite? Now, I know Killarney is your favourite place in the whole world, right? But,
well, you know, all of those places. I suppose the country that I love the most and the one that I keep going back to all the time is Spain. I mean, Europe has so much attraction, Italy. But having said that, all of those destinations, I suppose I probably would think South America has a certain ring about it. When you think of the Iguazu Falls, when you think of Rio, you know, Argentina, I mean, it's, and I've been several times. I've also been to Recife in the north of Brazil. Amazing, amazing continent, really.
Yeah, and I mean, Spain, there, did you mention? I know that you are fluent in Spanish, right? Am I correct?
Not correct, Ed. I speak Spanish, you know what I mean? And I defend myself when necessary in Spanish.
Yeah, I mean, but of course, it's amazing because Spain, we do have a love affair with Spain in Ireland. I mean, it's number one destination. I think Lanzarote won best winter destination again this year. You had a huge program to Spain and the Costa del Sol and Andalusia was a place that, I mean, you were famous down there for all the people you sent.
Absolutely. And I mean, my first trip to Malaga, I remember going to Fuengirola back in the early 60s. a fishing village right on the Costa del Sol. Now it's a city.
Yeah.
I mean, things have changed so much down there. But I like to spend the month of January still on the Costa del Sol because you get away from the really bad weather here.
Yeah.
I'm a golfer. I like to play a bit of golf down there. And, you know, I still enjoy Spain.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting as well is over the years, I mean, a lot of people who would think about travel, you know, they would be thinking it's a bit of a tough business sometimes because, you know, with the way things happen in the world, with weather, I mean, you know, with all the crazy things that can happen with wars. And I mean, you must have had a lot of sleepless nights over the years with different things that happened. And I want you to tell me the story as well about the time of the Iceland eruption, how you got back. I thought that was great.
Yes. Well, I mean, we were in Portugal and all flights were grounded because of the volcanic eruption in Iceland. So we had to think outside the box, if you like. I was with a group of guys, actually, we were on a golfing trip and we rented a minibus. And there was a scramble to get into the front seats of the minibus. I didn't managed to get into the front seat. I was quite happy to sit in the middle. And the fellows that went in the front seat, they soon got kind of tired of the scenery, driving up, first of all, through Portugal, then Spain, and then France. We overnighted somewhere near Bordeaux, as I recall. And eventually we got to Le Havre. And we were lucky enough that one of the party, his daughter was the PA to the chief executive of Irish Ferries. And not alone did we get on the ferry, we got cabins on the boat. And I rescued a certain gentleman called John Delaney, well known in the FAI circles. We were big in sports travel and FAI was one of our accounts. And we had quite an interesting encounter with him and several other people on the ferry on the way back.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, I remember, I think that morning when this news was happening about this ash, you know, erupting. And then, of course, the whole thing, I mean, everything shut down. I mean, that must be, you know, every alley travel hospitality person's worst nightmare.
Well, there were several of those, you know what I mean, over the years. To be honest with you, nothing else comes to mind immediately, but the travel business was always subject to weather, to strikes probably being the biggest problem. You mentioned Ryanair. When Ryanair got serious, and that was Michael O'Leary's appointment as chief executive. I mean, up to then, Ryanair was very, very much, if you like, a conventional airline doing things the conventional way. And Abbey Travel were Ryanair's biggest single customer at that stage. We operated the Ryanair Holidays in Ireland program from the UK and had a very, very good cooperation with them. And may I tell this story? Because Michael O'Leary hopefully is listening or isn't
listening. Yeah, he's a great friend of the show.
When he was looking at the affairs of Ryanair, he said, can I have a look at this contract we've got with Abbey Travel? And the person said, well, as a matter of fact, Mr. O'Leary, we don't have a contract. We have a gentleman's agreement. And he said, would you go and tell Abbey Travel we're not gentlemen and that agreement no longer exists? But anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryanair is such a huge success story, amazingly. And I mean, thanks to Michael O'Leary.
Yes, no, I mean, incredible. I mean, I went to Basel the other day, direct from Dublin, but I think it was €40, Conrad, each way or something. But great little place. So, I mean, and I went to Nuremberg last year, but places you'd never imagine years ago,
yes,
you know, that you'd fly to. And a great success. And I mean, revolutionized travel, of course, absolutely over the years.
Plus the fact, of course, that they fly into Farn Fáil Airport here beside us in Kerry, which brings tourism into this area.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm talking to Con Horgan this evening on the Sunday Show, a travel and hospitality legend, as I referred to him earlier. Con, I suppose really for people in Ireland, Killarney is one of the most iconic places. When you travel around the world, I meet people and I ask them, have you ever been to Ireland? And they say, oh yeah. And most of them, whether they're German or French or American, they all seem to have been to Killarney. So, and here now, during the week, walking around, busy, you know, some places you go at this time of year be quiet. Killarney always seems to have a buzz, and it's just, it has something unique.
Killarney must be the liveliest town in Ireland, apart altogether from the lakes and mountains and things that made Killarney famous. I mean, Killarney town has developed into a very interesting, very active town with a lot of things to offer, restaurants, bars, entertainment and that. And I think at any time of the year, Killarney is worth a visit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And when you decided, I mean, to invest here in the Castle Ross, was, I mean, obviously you had, there was something that drew you to Killarney, was it this whole area? And I mean, not just the majestic, incredible beauty of the place, of course, which is amazing.
Well, as it happened, I was shareholder partner in the Tower Hotel Group. Time came for me to divest myself of that interest. My partners were FBD, who are still very much in the hotel business. And instead of, I suppose, selling my shares for cash, as what most people do, I took the Castle Ross Park Resort. I took the Castle Ross Hotel, as it was at that time, as my share, if you like, of the group. Because I love the place, really. There's something about this location. There's something about the location, particularly of the resort here in the National Park, that, you know, goes beyond its value, whatever that might be, if it were on the market.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the views that I'm looking at now, I mean, you couldn't put a price on those.
No.
In terms of the history here, it's lovely. You were chatting to me last night about Lord Castle Ross, and he was quite he was a columnist, and he was the man in London at the time, but a very colourful character, wasn't he?
Castle Ross was a very colourful character, but one thing I would say, by the way, about my decision to come here, I knew that you could never claim ownership of this. This is not something that one owns. This is something which one borrows for a while, one's lifetime, hopefully one's family's lifetime. But it is that kind of a very, very precious, it's like a precious painting or something like that. It is unique. As for Lord Castle Ross, well, he was part of the Brown family that came to Killarney at the end of the 16th century, would you believe? The first Valentine Brown was the crown surveyor for the plantation of Munster. And it was his job to dole out the lands of Munster after the defeat of the Irish chieftains to people who served the crown, either in the army or whatever. And he took the area around Killarney for himself. At that time, they owned the lakes, the mountains, and every piece of land, and most of the town as well. So the, if you like, that line continued right up to Mrs. Grosvenor, or Beatrice Grosvenor, who was, if you like, a direct descendant of that Brown family.
Yeah, very interesting. And I mean, it's funny because I think you were telling me about, I mean, obviously Queen Victoria, when she came here famously as well. And this location was the Royal Victoria Hotel, which was, of course, a huge favourite spot of her son, Bertie.
Yes, the Royal Victoria Hotel was actually built on exactly the same site as the Castle Ross is today. Now, that hotel was very famous. It was one of the great hotels of Ireland. And it played host to Bertie. He received a holiday here as a confirmation present, if you don't mind. The royal yacht apparently sailed into Glengariff and he came up by land. But he wasn't the only one. All sorts of royalty and all sorts of people, you know what I mean, of importance came. And of course, then Queen Victoria had come to Killarney in 1861. And she put Killarney, if you like, on the map at that time. There was less travel to the continent and places like that. So Ireland, Scotland were destinations for holidays. And Killarney was at its prime at that time.
Yeah, incredible. When you think about it, I mean, and the Victorians, of course, were huge travellers. I mean, they did the grand tour of Switzerland and Killarney. I mean, they loved to travel. I think as well, the interesting thing is when she, the original, after that, you talked about Beatrice there. So what she built here then was, which was unusual and quite different for the time, a motel.
Yes. Yes. She, first of all, her uncles, the 6th and 7th Earl, Valentine and Gerald, had died. And they didn't have any heirs, any children as such to pass it on to. She was their niece. She was a niece of the Duke of Westminster as well. And she was very blue-blooded, a distant cousin of Princess Diana. And she came to Killarney and became very much part of Killarney society on the death of her two uncles. And she basically, she disposed of a lot of the land. I don't think the estates at that stage of the Earls of Kenmare, which was the titles they had, there may have been a lot of debt. She sold off a lot of the land. She gave the land to build the golf course here in the Killarney Golf and Fishing Club. And she had this idea, influenced possibly by American friends or whatever, to build a motel, if you like, on the site of the Royal Victoria Hotel, which probably was a nicer site.
It's like a team change.
she built this 40-bedroom motel, and she built this house, Kenmare House, as her home, which is about 200 metres away.
Mm.
And she passed away in 1985. The hotel came on the market, and the motel came on the market, and the house came on the market. The Tower Hotel Group, my company, bought the motel and developed it into what it is today, the Castle Ross Park Resort. A man called Dennis Kelleher, who was a Kerry man who had emigrated to the States in the late 50s, was a runner on Wall Street, went to college at night, educated himself, and became a stockbroker and a very wealthy stockbroker. And he bought this house, Kenmare House, as, if you like, a trophy Irish home.
Yeah.
Not quite knowing, you know, why he bought it, but nobody lived here. It was used from time to time by visitors, friends of theirs. We had one very famous case where a lady was dining in the Castle Ross Hotel and she looked across and she said, "That man over at that table looks very like Gregory Peck." It was Gregory Peck. And Gregory Peck was staying in Kenmare House at the time. And all sorts of people arrived here. We obviously took care of the housekeeping and they came down to our place for drinks and food and stuff like that. So
it was a little secret hideaway for friends of the Kellehers, I suppose.
But they didn't really get much use of it. I went over to the States, to New York, where they live. Dennis passed away in 2019. His wife, Carol, and his son, Sean, and daughter, Colleen, met them and suggested that we upgrade the place and make it, up to a standard that would be acceptable to the upper end of the tourist rental market. And they agreed. And they spent the money. And I think you'll agree it was well spent. And it now is a very, very fine product.
No, absolutely. I mean, I was here, we were here before COVID a few years ago and we had a lovely little tour here of the property, which was very interesting, but the transformation is unbelievable. And we'll chat a little bit about that more as well. Dennis Kelleher, of course, I saw lovely pictures. You have fabulous pictures in both properties here. He went on, of course, he was Grand Marshal in the parade
which is about the highest honour one can get as an Irishman in New York. He was Grand Marshal of the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade in 2005. Yes. And I went there and participated in the parade. He was a good friend. We had a lot of contact over the years. We developed a 9-hole golf course on our joint lands, and which is still a facility available to clients of Castle Ross Park Resort or indeed to clients of Kenmare House.
Yeah, and I mean, I actually played a bit of golf the last time I was here. Now, I'm not as good as you by any means, but 9 holes, it was perfect. It's beautiful. And again, the setting is amazing.
You have a very nice
amazing. Very interesting, Con, what you've done here in terms of this loving restoration. Just tell, for people that want to get an idea, I suppose, what they can experience here, you've created a beautiful sort of self-catering but private hire house. And I mean, it is really, I mean, in terms of the level of what has been put into this area, I suppose the finishes, everything is here for somebody. You have drawing rooms, libraries, lounges. It is just, it's stunning. If I can be very honest about it, I'm very impressed.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that, Ed. I mean, it certainly, a lot of effort was put into it. And in fact, contribution, not just from ourselves here, but from the Kelleher family in New York as well. All of the plans were cleared with them. And they were quite demanding in terms, because they're, I suppose, to the American homes are of a somewhat higher standard than we're used to here. I mean, they were particular about the tiles on the bathrooms, the carpets on the floors, that sort of thing. So it's all of a very, very high standard. There are 8 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms, 2 very nice lounges, which you've seen, a library, which is a lovely little room if you just want to close the door and get away from it all. You have a chapel. Now, there's a history to that. Why should there be a consecrated chapel? Well, the Kenmare's family were staunchly Catholic, even though they were members of the House of Lords and all the rest of it. They're one of those few noble families, if you like. I think they call them old Catholics, a bit like the Norfolks and that sort of thing. And they had the, if you like, permission directly from the Vatican, and we have the letter to show it, that they could have a consecrated chapel in each of the Kenmare houses. And this is the last of a succession of Kenmare houses. And Beatrice Grosvenor has the chapel here, which is still here, which is used from time to time, which people, if it's a wedding event or whatever it might be, people can use it for that purpose.
Yeah, I mean, and that is something very special. I was having a little contemplation in the chapel this morning, which is always lovely. I mean, that is one thing that strikes you about this place here. It is just, you start to just completely relax the minute you get here. You can feel your batteries, I suppose, recharging. But the location, of course, is amazing. But there's this, like, the sweeping staircase. I'm not sure if that's Carrara marble in the kitchen, Con, but it's pretty amazing stuff. But
I don't believe it is.
but you know, it's for any kind of a special occasion, I suppose, or you said even a small wedding now, which a lot of people are doing, smaller intimate weddings. It is just a stunning property. And the gardens, of course, you know, are beautiful. The daffodils are out at the moment. The camellias are out. It's just the most gorgeous garden. So, I mean, if you wanted to have from a writer's retreat to a nice little wedding, I mean, there's so much potential here, isn't there?
There is. Well, I mean, it is self-catering.
Yeah.
But remember that the resort is only 200 metres away. So we have the full range of, you know, restaurant, bar, leisure centre, which people here will have free access to, 20-metre swimming pool, 9-hole golf course. So we've a range of facilities. So it's self-catering to the extent that you want it to be, but you have the facilities near at hand if you want to use them.
Yeah, I mean, and that's actually really nice because you can have breakfast. Now, I have to be honest as well. A couple of years ago, when I first came to the Castle Ross, I was really hungry one day and I came in for lunch and I had soup and a sandwich. And I think that vegetable soup is still up there as the best vegetable soup I had. The food is fantastic there, right? So, but that's great to have that, isn't it? The fact that you can, as you said, if you don't want cooking, you can, you know, you can stock the bar here. You have a dry room for golfers, which, yeah, I mean, I said that was definitely a nice American touch.
Yeah.
But again, just everything you've thought of, sort of everything, you know, I mean, which is really, really cool. I mean, there's nothing. I know there's TVs in every room as well, which I thought was quite American, but also very nice if you've got a family who fight over the remote control, you know.
Well, I mean, this was very much an idea of the Kelleher family that there should be televisions. I'm not so sure if I would have put a television in every room, wouldn't. But I think they're fairly discreet.
They are, absolutely. They are, yeah, for sure. And I mean, the property itself, as I said, is, you know, you would imagine actually that it was here a lot longer than it is because it has that feel of a, you know, like much older. But it is an amazing structure. And again, the gardens around it, and as I said, the chapel, it has something very special. Now, Con, of course, a lot of people will know Killarney for, you know, things to do and see here. But just for people maybe that haven't been here before or whatever, I mean, just in terms of the highlights of what people can do and see when they come here or when they stay here at the house.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as we're in the national park, every one of the sites are accessible either walking or we also have bicycle hire on site so they can cycle through the national park. The more famous places to see, Ross Castle, of course, 14th century castle, which was sieged by Cromwell way back in the day, and in fact would have been one of the earlier residences of the Brown family. I mean, Ross Castle, that's how Castle Ross came into the title, because the first title they had was Baron Castle Ross before they were Earls of Kenmare. And then, of course, you've got Muckross House and Gardens. You have Tark Waterfall. Muckross House and Gardens is where Queen Victoria spent her little short holiday in Killarney in 1861. My favourite thing to do in Killarney is the Gap of Dunloe tour.
Yeah, I must say I love it as well.
Which takes you out to Kate Carney's cottage, if you fancy a pint there, up through the Gap of Dunloe, down to Lord Brandon's cottage, across the lake, back to Ross Castle, and then back to your hotel or wherever it is. It's really a magnificent tour and hasn't changed very much from the time. When I did it first, there was no, if you like, motorized. The boats were rowed across the lake. That's way back. But it's really, if you get a nice day, it's a magnificent thing to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think as well, the other thing that's nice as well, I noticed, I mean, just beside in the Castle Ross as well, you have entertainment, of course, as well, and you have music, so which is also quite nice for people. But you do, you know, during the season.
Yeah, we do have nightly entertainment in Mulligan's or bar, and it's traditional music, but it's something that people enjoy.
Yeah, and we had a very interesting, for me as well, I had a very nice meal in Hilliard's here as well, and I suppose, I think for me, like going back years ago when you come here first, you'd expect, you know, traditional food, I suppose Irish food. But the food in Hilliard's was, and I'm just giving them a shout out, was fantastic. I mean, you had very international, European, but incredible. I mean, that cheesecake dessert and those meatballs, I had a haddock croquette with a sort of an Indian curry, papadum, oysters. I love oysters. I had the most amazing oysters. But the menu was fabulous. And I mean, they have small plates and different things. But I mean, and that, of course, was going back. There's history there. Hilliard's is going way back to, I suppose, when it was originally used for sending telegrams or something. But the food scene here in Killarney Con has just seemed to gone from strength to strength. And the variety is amazing.
Yeah, right. And of course, you've got the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. The cocktails. I mean, some of those cocktails are, I didn't get to try too many of them, but a fantastic list there. The mixologists are doing some great things there. So, Con, for the future going forward, right? Tourism, I suppose you've been through COVID, you've survived that, you've survived the volcanic eruptions over the years. Exciting times ahead. The house here, of course, a huge addition to the whole resort. Very exciting for tourism seems to be back with the boom again, with the bang.
Yes, all the indications are that 2024 will be a good year for tourism. Our, if you like, market tends to be largely Irish. We do have Americans, we do have Europeans, which we greatly appreciate. But given our structure with 120 hotel bedrooms and 39 self-catering homes, we attract, obviously, a big family market, and we get business from all over Ireland. We have our leisure centre with a 20-metre swimming pool, and we have, I suppose, it's the range of facilities that we've got. I think children's playground, we do a kiddies programme during school holidays. We basically cater to the customer's needs. But the thing that I enjoy most about what we do is the number of comments we get on our friendliness. And we have a team of people working here, not all Irish by any stretch of the imagination. When we finished our season last year, I employed 13 different nationalities, from South African to Polish to Lithuanian to Ukrainian, and of course Irish also. But for some reason, they all managed to get into the atmosphere of the place. I think location has a lot to do with it. It kind of gives people a lift. But we do get a lot of good comments on our friendliness. So I hope it's something, it's hard, it's an intangible, but I hope it's something that we can continue to provide.
Well, I must say, from first-hand experience, I can totally agree with that. And you do have a magic formula here, Con. Years and years of practice, I suppose, or whatever, but you certainly have something very special here. For people that want to get more information, Con, about the house here, what is the website?
The website is, well, there are two websites, but you can get it all on www.castleross, with an E at the end, castleross.ie, or www.kenmarehouse.ie.
Wonderful. Well, Con, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you this evening. And I wish you all the best for the season ahead and the best of luck. And I'm sure that there'll be lots of other exciting projects because you've no intention of retiring at all, I'm told.
Not so sure, Ed, but anyway, we'll keep going as long as we can. Thank Great you very stuff. Much indeed.
Thanks a million, Colm.
The Sunday Show with EPIC, the Irish Emigration Museum, an interactive journey that shows how a small island made a big impact on the world. EPICCHQ.com. Sunshine. 106.8 Sunshine 106.8